You're listening to Messages of Grace. Grace Baptist Church Kelowna exists to bring glory to God through lives transformed by the gospel as we follow Jesus together as his disciples, family, servants, and witnesses. Now for today's message.
Well, amen. And thank you, praise team. And good morning to all of you. It's good to be together. And a special welcome if you're visiting with us today. Happy to have you here. Now, I don't know if sometimes you count pastors when you're here, and maybe you're doing the math this morning, and you might notice that we're down one of our pastoral staff. And if you're wondering where Pastor Andy is today, he's actually not very far away. He's just down the hall, and he's preaching this morning in the Chinese service, in the Mandarin service. I believe there's an interpreter there. I would expect so, or else something miraculous is happening. But feel free to send up a prayer for Andy this morning as he's sharing with our Mandarin brothers and sisters as well. But it's good to be together. And, you know, as it was mentioned, we are at the end of spring break. And our ministries are coming back into action this week. Spring break is over for school, but I want to let you know that we are now going to be taking a short spring break from our series in the book of Revelation. We're going to be taking a few weeks to take a journey toward the events of Easter, toward the cross and the empty grave. And so I hope you're okay to switch your vantage point for a while. Switch our view from seeing things. We've been looking at the risen Jesus ruling in heaven in the book of Revelation, and now we're going to switch to seeing Jesus ministering on earth in the gospel accounts. So this is our Easter, our spring break, if you will. And don't you, by the way, don't you just love spring? It's a beautiful day. It's a wonderful time of year. The temperature warms up. The world starts taking on a fresh look. Trees are putting on leaves. Flowers are blooming. Street sweeping machines, when they're on the street. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I see the street sweeping machines. Is there anybody else cleaning things up? Another sign that spring is here is that you may have already started your spring cleaning. Have you started? Maybe you're washing some windows, sweeping the doorstep, purging your closet. Everything to be made fresh, new, and clean. It's a wonderful time of year. You know, as wonderful as all of that is, at the same time, spring cleaning, if you think about it, can be kind of gross. It can be disturbing, can't it, to move the couch at home and see all that dust and debris that's collected underneath. It can be downright scary to open up the barbecue lid and see how much like a horror movie it's inside, and you're wondering what kind of critters have been there all winter. I have to say that spring cleaning the barbecue is my least favorite job. It's disgusting. I feel gross, and I just can't wait to take a shower when it's all over. Now, I'm sure that you've all had times when you too feel particularly dirty. It can be from any number of things. It might not just be scrubbing a barbecue. It could be anything. It could be noticing a coffee stain on your shirt when your workday has just begun. It can be any number of things that can make us feel unclean. But there really is more than one way to feel unclean. There's, yes, feeling dirty on the outside. It can be unpleasant. It can be embarrassing. But there's a far more serious way when we feel dirty on the inside. And we feel as if we have this moral, spiritual dirt in the inside. And I raise that issue this morning because that's the issue that we see in our passage today. And we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. So if you have a Bible or you want to use the Pew Bible, Mark chapter 1, 40 to 45. Now, however that you come this morning feeling about yourself, I think that many of us need to hear what's going on in this passage. Because we meet a man who needs and who finds spiritual cleansing. And I think that's important to all of us. So Mark 1, 1 to 40. And a leper came to him, to Jesus, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing, what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Let's just pray for a minute. Lord, we thank you for your word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Would you give us eyes to see you this morning, ears to hear from you, and hearts to respond? We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to walk through this passage with three headings this morning. We're going to consider, first of all, the need for spiritual cleansing, then also the means of cleansing, and then we'll look at the cost of cleansing. So let's think about the first heading, the need for cleansing. You know, one of the most famous examples of somebody who's looking for internal cleansing is in the Shakespeare play Macbeth. You remember reading about your Shakespeare in school? In the play Macbeth, Lady Macbeth, she's complicit in the murder of King Duncan. And she's plagued by a guilty conscience, and she begins sleepwalking. And she's rubbing her hands, and she's washing them, certain that the blood of Duncan is visible for everybody else to see. And there's no amount of water that could cleanse her guilt. And she cries out at one point, "Oh, damned spot, out, I say." And then she goes on to cry, "What will these hands never be clean?" And that scene is so powerful, and we study that in school, because it describes that response to guilt that we all have. That deep sense of feeling dirty with what we've done. Time doesn't wash it away. Good works doesn't wash it away. It's just there. And I think we can relate to this. And it's not even just always our own deeds, is it? The bad things that we have done, it's not always just that leaves us feeling unclean on the inside. Sometimes it's not even what we did, but what was done to us that brings that feeling of shame. And by the way, if that's something you've experienced, it's good to realize that Jesus experienced that himself in his humiliating death and how he was treated. He knows that feeling of shame. And what we're going to see today in our passage is he is the one, though, that is able to offer cleansing, whether it's the guilt of what we have done or whether it's the shame of what's been done to us. Now, in our first verse, verse 40, we meet a man who is familiar with this need, this sense of needing inner cleansing. We're told in verse 40 that a leper came to Jesus. Now, of course, as a leper, this man was in a terrible predicament. In his time, I mean, first of all, this condition was physically painful and disfiguring, and in his time, it was regarded as incurable and also highly infectious. And so there's this intense physical discomfort this man has, but he also has this social isolation that he has to endure. Now, when we go back to Leviticus chapter 13, we read about the law and what was said about lepers. And back then, it was commanded that lepers, at this time, they were to be separated from the rest of the community. And the intent was not to be unkind to them, but it was to protect the people from them because of how contagious it was. In Leviticus, we were told that if a leper came across other people, they were to even cry out, "Unclean, unclean," and to announce themselves. They had to say that verbally, and even visually, they had to announce themselves. They were not allowed to wear nice clothing. They had to wear torn clothing so as to not hide their condition from people. So you can imagine that this man in our text was carrying with him this deep sense of shame, this stigma, this reputation. Now, as well as the physical pain and the social pain, there was also a spiritual toll that he also had. The leper would have been ceremonially unclean. And if you bumped into one even accidentally, even if you didn't get leprosy, then you would have been ceremonially unclean. And so the whole dynamic here is it was almost like touching a corpse. And that's why, even in that day, that these people were regarded as the walking dead. So it's really hard to imagine a worse kind of affliction that somebody could have had at that time especially. And somebody like this man, if you think about it, he would have walked through his life just feeling untouchable, feeling contaminated, feeling toxic, as though all he can do is just spread that contamination wherever he goes. Now, that's quite a scene that we have here in our Bible page here. But I wonder this morning if some of us, in a way, can even relate to this. That maybe some of us feel like we're that person who just feels too toxic, too messed up on the inside. That wherever we go, we're just going to bring harm and damage. We feel maybe radioactive, that we can't draw near to other people without contaminating them with our brokenness. And maybe we think that God himself doesn't even want anything to do with me. That maybe I can see that God would love some other people, but maybe I'm the exception. Maybe God's grace can help other people, but I'm just too far gone. There's just too much mess in my life. That may be how some of us feel today as we come this morning. Now, others of us, we might be on the other end of the spectrum, and we might be feeling pretty good about ourselves. Some of us might approach life thinking, well, in and of myself, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm actually a pretty good person. I've really got things together. It's everybody else that doesn't. Some of us can be pretty pleased with ourselves. Now, interestingly, I think this man's condition in verse 40, not that I think, but I believe that this is a picture of what all of us are like naturally, spiritually. A picture of all of us spiritually in our natural condition. In the Bible, God used leprosy as a striking example of what sin is like and its effects in our lives. Like leprosy, consider this, like leprosy, sin is deeper than the skin. Like leprosy, sin spreads. It defiles. Sin isolates. Like leprosy, sin renders things fit for the fire. However we feel about ourselves today, all of us naturally are spiritually unclean in the sight of God. And so we all need cleansing. All of us, myself, every single one of us, we need cleansing from the guilt of things that we have done, and some of us for things that have been done to us that we shouldn't feel shame about. And so this passage presents to us this need for cleansing that we all have. This deep inner need. Now, thankfully, this passage doesn't stop right here. But wonderfully, it goes on now to show us the means of cleansing. So this will be the second part that we look at. The means of cleansing. Now, the opening words of verse 40 are actually kind of outrageous. They're unthinkable. It says here that a leper came to Jesus. We could just stop right there, because that shouldn't be happening. This leper shouldn't be coming up to anybody. This leper should be staying far away from everybody for their sake. So imagine you're there as an onlooker. Imagine the shock that you have watching this unfold. It's scandalous. This man is breaking the law. He knows he is not going He's not supposed to be going near to anyone. But what else does he know? Well, he must also know that Jesus isn't just anyone. He's not just anyone. And so he comes to Jesus in verse 40, imploring him, begging. He's kneeling. Picture this man on his knees before Jesus. And he says, if you will, you can make me clean. So this man knows something about Jesus. He's not just anyone. He recognizes something that Jesus came to heal and to cleanse. And what we have to remind ourselves again is that in that day, there was no cure for this. And so if it were to be cured, it would be recognized that it had to be God, that God did this, that it was a miracle and a working of God. And so this man comes to Jesus, and he knows that Jesus has come to cleanse. Now that word clean, when he says, make me clean, if you will, you can make me clean, it means healed, but it's not only physical. It's ceremonial, it's spiritual, it's this idea of being whole. This man knows that he is the walking dead, but he knows that Jesus has the power to raise the dead. He knows that there is someone in this universe that can make him clean. Did you know that? There's someone in this universe that is the means for you to be completely cleansed within. So he recognizes something about Jesus. And he also recognizes something about himself. He recognizes that he himself, that he's not worthy. And this is why we see him coming to Jesus, imploring, kneeling, begging. And he said, if you will, you can make me clean. So he believes that Jesus can do this, but he doesn't presume that Jesus has to do this. He knows Jesus has the power to cleanse him, but that he's not obligated to do that. He knows that Jesus doesn't owe him anything. He knows he doesn't have a right to claim this from him. And so he just comes and he says, if you will, you can make me clean. And friends, I think this is a phenomenal picture of faith. We want to know what faith is. We can look up the word in the dictionary, but I think here we have a visual picture of what real faith is. This is the only way to come to God. You know, and everybody, I think, in the world is asking the question, how do I come to God? How do I know God? How can God work in my life? And here we see this is the only way to come to God. This is the way that, the only way that God will hear you or me, the only way that God will save you or me, and it's to come to God through Jesus alone, as this man is doing, and to come to him in humility, and to come knowing that God doesn't owe you anything, and that you need him, and that you must come seeing that you have a spiritual leprosy, and everyone has it, and if God doesn't cure it, it's going to destroy you, and it's going to destroy me, especially in the next life. And so here is a man who, despite his condition, seems to have something figured out. He's a picture of faith. He recognizes something about who Jesus is and something about who he is and how to approach him. And so in faith, he comes to him and he says, if you will, you can. Now, again, if the words of this leper in verse 40 are shocking, if it's shocking that he even came to Jesus and talked to him in the first place, then how much more shocking is it that we see these words in the first part of verse 41. Because we read this, moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand. Now again, in their day, the only way that Jesus or anybody should have been moving in the presence of a leper is far away. They should have been moving the opposite direction. But instead, the way that Jesus moved here is with pity. Compassion. He's not moved with rage or anger or fear, not disgust, not judgment, pity, compassion. Jesus is not indifferent. He feels for this man. He feels deeply. Scholars say that this word compassion can also be translated as angry. Not that Jesus was angry at the man, but he was angry at what the condition had done to this man. Jesus is moved. He cares. This man matters to him. What he's going through matters to him. And I think we can just stop here for a minute and apply this to our lives. What you're going through matters to Jesus. What your life has become, it matters to Jesus. What your life will become, it matters to Jesus. Did you know that? That whatever mess you've made of your life or whatever mess that somebody else has done to your heart, when Jesus looks into your heart, he's not grossed out. He moves not away, but toward in compassion. He's not recoiling away. He's moving toward. And this is amazing. When we think about who is God, what is the heart of God, we see a picture of the heart of God that we don't have to wonder how God feels about us, how he feels about you when you come to him in faith. He's not running away. He's moving toward in compassion and in pity. So that's what Jesus feels in this moment. Now, it's not just what Jesus feels that's amazing, but it's also what he does. We looked at the compassion of Jesus, and now we see the touch of Jesus. It says that he stretched out his hand and he touched him. And you have to wonder, you know, how long had it been for this man? I thought about that. How long had it been for this man since he had been touched in a friendly, compassionate way? Maybe years, maybe decades he's had this condition. You know, in recent years, especially since the coronavirus, there's been a lot of studies about how if we go without physical contact for a long period of time, how it has a very negative effect on our emotional and psychological health. They call it skin hunger or touch starvation. See, we need physical contact. And I think that's maybe why, like, we buy pets, right? So that we can touch them, we can pet them. I suppose that's why they're even called pets. Think about it. But this man, who for years or decades had no handshake, no hug, no high five, no contact, Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches him. And it's not only scandalous, but it's dangerous. Remember, if you touched a leper, you became unclean. There was good reasons why they were to stay away from everyone. But Jesus isn't just anyone. And so Jesus says these amazing words to this man. He says, "I am willing. Be clean." And so we see that Jesus doesn't just feel for us and that he's not just able to do anything about it, but he can help. He wills. He desires to help. And then we see that the effect here, it's immediate. Verse 42 says, "And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean." Can you imagine that? It's like you're dead, now you're alive. And what is it that happens? It's Jesus speaks. Jesus said these words, touched him, and Jesus speaks the uncleanness out of this man's body. And he speaks the reality of cleanness into this man's life. The words of Jesus affect the very thing that they declare. And then Jesus' touch. What about his touch? Was Jesus at risk to touch this man? It turns out it's the opposite, that the leprosy was at risk from Jesus. Jesus' cleanness is more contagious than this man's uncleanness. So connecting this to our lives, I think what we need to see is that there's more power in Jesus than sin in us. There's more right in Jesus than wrong in you or me. There's more goodness in him than sin in us. There's more grace in him than offense in us. Our sins are many, but his grace is more. The very worst of us cannot compete with the best that's in Jesus. Now, I know that we can struggle to believe that, right? We can think that in theory, Jesus' grace is great. That's okay. I need a pause anyway. Take a breath. It's all good. Well, let's pause on that for just a minute. We can at times think that Jesus' grace is for others, but my mess is too big for him. It's too big for him. And I think what we see in this passage is it's never bigger than Jesus. There's not a sin in our lives that is bigger and more powerful than Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes about this. He says, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. What that means is, yes, sin does increase in our lives at times. At times in our lives, we can get off track. We can stumble off the path. We can fall and pick up steam and even have a big crash. Sin does at times increase, unfortunately, in our lives, in its effects. But grace abounded all the more. Sin runs fast and far, but God's grace runs faster and further still. You know, we can say, my sins are so deep, or that person's sins are so deep. But here the Lord says, but my grace goes deeper, much deeper. We can say, Lord, my sins are too far. That person's sins are too far. But the Lord says, but my grace has gone much further. Where sin increased, God's grace abounds. Grace abounded all the more. Literally, it means super abounded. God makes his grace super abound over abounding sin. There's always more grace in Jesus than there is sin in us. So there is the need for cleansing that every one of us has. And then there is the means of cleansing that we find in Jesus alone, who wills us to be clean. And now finally we come to this third part of this story, which is the cost of cleansing. The cost of cleansing, which we find in a very peculiar ending. Now, you'll notice that this narrative doesn't end with the man being declared clean. It doesn't just stop there. But Jesus now sends him off with two instructions in verses 43 and 44. Verse 43, and Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. So the first instruction is keep this quiet, zip it, tell nobody about this. And maybe our first reaction is, wow, like how hard would that be? I mean, you were as good as dead and now you're alive and now you can't tell anybody about this? What is this about? Does this seem unreasonable? But notice that Jesus is very serious about this. It says he sternly charged him. And he said, say nothing to anyone. Why is Jesus giving this command? Well, Jesus has his reasons. And I believe that a big part of this is that Jesus is really interested in followers who seek him, not in people who are just seeking the sensational. He doesn't want people just to come and view him as a faith healer. He's not interested in big crowds. He wants people who will know him, longing for truth and relationship, not just for a show. Jesus knows that the cross is coming, but it has to come in its proper time. He has three years here, 3.5 years of ministering to do first before the events of the cross and the resurrection. So Jesus has his plan and his timetable set, and he wants to stay on track, and so he tells this man, don't go spreading this around. Don't tell anyone about this. Jesus is very serious. In fact, he's not asking him to do a favor. He doesn't say, can you just, you know, help me out a little bit and keep this quiet because I've got a lot to do in the next 3 years and I'd appreciate it if you could just keep it on the down low. He sternly charged him. It's a serious command. And so he says, don't say a word. And that's the first thing he says. Second thing that he says, in the second part of verse 44, he says, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Now, what is Jesus saying here? Jesus says, go to the local priest, show him that you're healed, and then when he sees you are, he's going to give you a clean bill of health. This is according to the law of Moses, again, in Leviticus. Once he sees that you're physically healed of a disease, you'll get this clean bill of health, and you will be restored to the community of God's people. As well, Jesus wants him to see the priest. As far as we know, the priesthood had never seen a healing like this before. And so now the priest would see that God did this miracle, and the religious leaders would be forced to come to terms with the fact that there's something about this Jesus. And so this is what Jesus prescribes. Go see the priest, let him inspect you, and offer the offering that Moses commanded. Okay, so that's what Jesus said. We have the two commands. Don't say anything. Go see the priest. Now we come to verse 45. But. We should stop at that word but. Really, we should. It's not the word that should really be there. But he went out, and he began to talk freely about it and spread the news. Now, part of us, right, we don't blame this man for going out and spreading the news. Because again, like he's finally free of his condition. He can go see people. You can imagine not wanting to keep that to yourself. But here's what I think we need to see. You know, this can be an amazing reminder that we can be so in need of Jesus. We can be so desperate for his grace and for his mercy and then receive it. And we can be so thankful that he has given to us. But then in a short period of time, we can go off and still think that we know better than Jesus about what to do next. Jesus wanted this man to go through the proper protocol. I want you to obey. I want you to go do the right thing. Go to the priest so the priest can see for himself that God's in our midst, and that this cleansing could only be from God, that the religious leaders could not deny this. And if he had obeyed, that would have been a way greater testimony than him going out and putting this all over social media. But like a lot of us, he didn't do it Jesus' way. He's going to do it his way. But don't you love the fact that Jesus still gives the grace? Jesus cleanses this man, even though this man is going to go out and disobey him. Now, before we leave this part of the story, it's worth noting again that there are particular reasons why this man was told not to tell anybody about what Jesus did. But friends, you know, we have been told to go and tell people about Jesus. When Jesus commands this man to go be quiet, he isn't. And when he commands us to speak, often we are quiet. But Jesus still gives us the grace, even when we mess up like this. So what is the result? What is the result of this man disobeying Jesus? When he went out and he began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, when he's going everywhere saying, look, I'm back and I'm better, I'm cleansed, when Jesus said, tell no one, and he told everyone, what was the result? Well, now we're told this. It's so that Jesus could no longer enter a city. Verse 45. And people were coming to him from every quarter. So from all over now, people are rushing to see Jesus. They're clamoring all around him. They want to get in on this. There's a big stir. And this is happening so much so that it says that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town but was out in desolate places. Now, friends, do you see what happened? What's the result? You know, earlier we said that in touching the man, Jesus was not made unclean. It's true. Jesus wasn't made unclean by being next to this man and touching him. But what we see now, in a very different kind of way, Jesus has been made unclean. You know, at the start of this story, the leper is clearly on the outside. He's on the outside. He's the outsider. And now the leper is on the inside with family and friends. And Jesus now he's on the outside. He's in the desolate places. And so do you see that Jesus and the leper have traded places? And so I think Mark is showing us in this gospel, he's showing us this, that this is here to show us how it is that at the end of the gospel story, when we get to, you know, how it is that Jesus is ultimately going to cleanse us from our guilt and from our shame and our sin. How does Jesus take away our guilt? He bears it himself. He takes our place. How does he take away our sin? He bears it himself. He takes our place. And this scene is a foretaste of what's going to happen when we get to the events of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus hangs on a cross and bears in himself the full consequences and the reality of our guilt and our sin and our shame. The burden that Jesus releases us from is a burden that he ends up carrying himself. He takes our place. And this picture of substitution that we see even in this text is the heart of the gospel. This is why Jesus came, to take on himself our sin, our sorrow, our shame, and in return to give us his forgiveness, his holiness, his righteousness. It is what the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:21, when he said, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." God made him who had no dirt to be filthy so that we might be cleansed in him. We might in him be cleansed. I wonder this morning, has he done that for you? Have you come to Jesus for this? Because there is a day coming when you and I, we will stand before him one way or another. In 1966, England won the soccer or football World Cup. And the captain of that team was a player named Bobby Moore. And some of you know this story better than me, soccer fans out there. And Bobby Moore, who after the victory, he walked up the steps of Wembley Stadium to receive the World Cup trophy from Queen Elizabeth herself. And when he was asked later on in an interview to describe how he felt and how great was that moment for you going up to see the Queen, what he said is that he was terrified. And he said so because as he was approaching the Queen, and by the way, you can view this on YouTube. I watched this the other day. As he's going up the steps toward the Queen, he notices that the Queen is wearing pure white gloves, while his own hand that he would use to soon shake her hand, the Queen's hand, his hand was covered in mud. He's filthy. He's covered in dirt from the pitch. And what you can see is as the captain walks along the balcony toward the Queen, he keeps wiping his hands on his shorts and then on the velvet cloth in front of the royal box, all in a desperate attempt to get himself clean before he shakes her hand. Friends, because of Jesus and the perfection of his life and the suffering of his death, the sufficiency of his death, and the power of his resurrection, we don't have to be desperate like this. We don't have to be desperate to be clean today or terrified on that day when we will stand before the King of Kings. All because Jesus walked his path to the cross, and he's willing and he's able to cleanse you from the sin that torments you today and the sin that separates you from God. This morning I would ask, where does this message find you today? Are you maybe here today, and maybe are you like the poor leper who before he was cleansed, you're like him before he was cleansed and you're afflicted and you're devastated by sin? If so, you need to know this morning that there is hope. and his name is Jesus. And that he is standing and waiting for you to come to him and to find cleansing, to find a new life in him. Or maybe today you come here and yes, you have been cleansed. And have you been cleansed? And maybe today you're reminded of what Jesus has done for you when he saved you. Are you grateful and you want to thank him? Maybe that's your response this morning. Just to thank him, today would be a good time to do that, to praise him. Or maybe today you come here this morning and you're like this leper and you have been cleansed by Jesus, but, there's that word but, there are areas of disobedience in your life. And the Lord simply can't just use you to the fullest to be that great testimony that he wants you to be. Today would be a good day to get down before him and get that right and find his abounding grace for you. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, we see in this passage that Jesus cares. We see his compassion, his pity. He's ready to move toward you. He's ready to reach into your life and to touch you at the very point of your need. If you simply come to him in faith like this poor leper did, if you will come to Jesus, the one who can cleanse, would you do that this morning? Let's bow for prayer. Our Father in heaven, this morning we simply say thank you for Jesus. And Lord, I pray that to whatever sense this morning that we might feel unclean about something in our lives, that we would lay that before you. I ask, Lord, that you would cleanse us in a way that only you can do. I pray that you would extend your hand, so to speak, and would you touch anyone here who feels burdened by that sense of being unclean today? Lord, we know that our sin makes all of us unclean before you, but we rejoice that you came to cleanse us. So Lord, we come to you this morning in faith. We bow before you, we kneel our hearts before you, and we just say, Lord, I know that you can make me clean. So would you please do that this morning? And Lord, with that, would you help us to go from here to be the best kind of testimony that we can be to your abounding grace? We just thank you, Lord, for the life of Jesus and the cost. We thank you for the sacrifice. We thank you, Jesus, that you were lifted up on a cross, that you were crushed under the weight of our sin and guilt and shame so that we might become the very righteousness of God because of you. And we're so thankful, Lord. May we respond now with a heart of praise and thanksgiving and a desire to follow you and obey you from this place. We pray this in Jesus' name.
If you would like to learn more about Grace Baptist Church or to join us in person, you can go to www.gracekelowna.com.